Your calling to take care of a person with dementia will take more than money and help from other family members. It's a giving of yourself as a person, which includes time, energy, commitment, and love. It also means you will enter a new world of continuous loss as you watch someone you love slip away from you, and there is nothing you can really do to stop the process. You will enter a world of upheaval as you watch this disease continue. Add this to all of your other responsibilities, and you may feel as though you're carrying the weight of the world upon your shoulders. As one daughter said, "I feel like I'm doing it all, and there's no relief. Others don't understand." And they may not. Don't count on receiving thanks or recognition from others. You may end up feeling invisible. This book has not been easy for me to write. Many thoughts and feelings were activated because I walked this path with my wife Joyce for more than 2 years. I didn't realize how much anticipatory grief I was in until after she died. Part of my knowing that she would die from her brain tumors wasn't always conscious. The surgeries, chemo, and radiation all held out the hope of healing, and our focus was on that. Yet under the surface was the entertainment of another possibility: death. Perhaps that stemmed from the death of our son, Matthew, in 1990, after a 2-week stay in the hospital for corrective surgery. One of the greatest gifts we have ever received is our mind, our thoughts, and especially our imagination. With it, we can be creative and resourceful and move forward in life. But it can also be one of the greatest sources of pain because of what we choose to dwell upon. What we think about and say to ourselves feeds our emotions and our grief. Imagination is to our emotions what illustrations are to a text or what music is to a ballad. Often we fixate on thoughts and questions that plague the pathways of our mind. I wonder. Do you ever wonder what goes through the minds of others? I have. I still do. And especially what went through Joyce's during her last weeks of life. It causes me to wonder what I would think and feel were I in her circumstance and place in life. It causes me to wonder what I will think and feel when it is my time to die. At age 70, and because Joyce is already gone, that is much more real than ever before. I see it less as an ending and more as a transition, a beginning. The hundreds of cards and emails I have received in the past month have had a consistent theme that leads to a sense of comfort and reassurance. But every now and then, I still wonder. I wonder what went through Joyce's mind each morning when she woke, knowing there was a sleeping enemy within her head that could awaken at any time, and eventually did. How much of her thoughts and feelings were for herself and for what this was doing to her loved one. And knowing Joyce as I did, I think I know, since she cared so much for others. What she experienced when she asked, "How long?" and heard, "It could be 2 weeks, or a month, or two." What is it like when you are told the news and then experience the process slowly as symptoms intensify and the words and thoughts diminish? What frustration it must have been to think you've said something clearly and then see the puzzlement and wonderment on the faces of others and realize you didn't say what you thought. Did the pain and discomfort at the last...